It's got rabies related life hacks, an overlong conversation about guitar strings, cheering on Team Little Dick, and the lasting effects of cinematic trauma.
Okay, so here's the situation, right? We're all familiar with the one in Lake Barcroft, the woman who was attacked by a beaver in Lake Barcroft.
Yeah, the beaver situation.
When was that? I didn't know about this.
A few years back.
Oh, this was...
She's somebody's mom,
right?
Well, yes, yeah, I mean, yes, or but like, and I think she may have used to live on the lake, but she was a realtor who, her whole deal was like, she kind of cornered like the Lake Barcroft market, and it's a private community, and they kept telling her like not to use the people's houses, that she was like hanging out at people's houses and use it like hanging out at the lake and stuff.
But she wasn't a resident, but she was just...
No, she was the real estate agent, and so when she, but she represented a lot of houses in the...
That's a loophole. That's like a Seinfeld kind of loophole.
Yeah, it was like,
but you don't actually live here.
It was obnoxious. And so like people, I mean, no one was happy to have effectively an elderly woman be attacked by a horrifying beaver. And then a neighbor came and like beat it to death or like beat it off. It off is not the correct term.
He beat off the beaver until it died.
He had like an oar and he was whacking at the beaver.
Sucked to death.
Yeah.
Wow.
So no one was rooting for the beaver necessarily, but at the same time, people were kind of like, you weren't supposed to be.
What was the situation? Was she on the beach and the beaver just
attacked
her?
No, she was at the dock. She was like swimming the dock at a house that she was representing. So in other words, she was selling a house for some people who were not there, and then she was hanging out at their house swimming in the lake.
There's wildlife.
Which technically
in the lake.
She was not supposed to do.
That's hilarious.
And then she got attacked by a beaver. And like part of, I think, the reason why a lot of Lake Barcroft residents were annoyed was not so much that she got attacked by a beaver, but because like no one else has ever been attacked by a beaver, and now it's like, oh, that's the lake where like the beavers will get you. And it's it's like this one.
She brought
lady,
the real estate price
lady
down.
That was trespassing.
Yeah, I know. That's the tragic thing. It's a self-inflicted wound because she was trying to sell the house, and now who's she going to sell it to? Because there's a rabid beaver on the
maybe
list.
Like
she's
beaver make aficionados, like people who like want to live life on the edge.
Yeah, yeah. She's going to make less of a commission now.
Yeah,
because of that. Yeah.
So where was
it actually in the lake?
I don't remember.
Suck my dick.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you got to edit that out.
Well, that's
sorry.
What you get when you don't live in like Barcroft and you go there and.
Yeah.
Yeah. The homeowners association. What is it? The Lake Association?
The LBA, the Lake
Yeah,
Barcroft.
They send out the beaver.
They've been trained.
With the control chip on it.
I'm a Doubt and Terrace guy.
Tag.
Yeah,
show
that's
me
right.
Doubt
and Terrace.
Right. I'm Doubt. Yeah. Tag. Jesse, you were Doubt and Terrace.
Sort of, yeah.
Is somebody like breaking in, about to bust us up?
Oh, it's Jimmy.
This dude.
Oh, man. Yeah. He's a Sleepy Hollow kid.
So, some friends of mine were hiking somewhere in upstate New York, right? It was a friend of mine and her boyfriend and some of their friends, right?
Okay.
They live in New York City, and they were hiking in some park out there.
Cool.
And they're hiking through the woods, and suddenly this this beaver comes up from behind them and jumps and hit headbutts the guy's knee from behind and knocks him over. And then bites his finger.
Whoa.
So.
Rabies.
Rabies.
Yeah.
And then it continues to try to attack them, right? So they grab like a stick and they beat it to death, right?
Are they like hippie type people?
No. They're just normal, you know, people who, you know, who live.
Are they vegetarians?
They're not vegetarians.
Okay, good.
Yeah. just to
so there's
just
no
clear on that.
They were
so,
do you think they enjoyed killing it?
No.
Okay.
I don't
Fair
think
enough.
So. Yeah. They didn't they're not vegetarians, but they also didn't enjoy killing it, and they didn't plan
right
to
on.
Eat it either because, you know, rabies.
Well, no. Yeah.
So okay, so here's the situation. They have to now he's bleeding badly from his finger because the beaver practically bit his finger off, right?
Which finger was it?
I don't know. I didn't know.
I'm gonna say it was the pinky.
It was the pinky. Yeah.
You would say that, wouldn't you?
I would say that.
It was the pinky brown.
Yeah. There you go.
Gotcha.
I met that girl.
So,
me too.
So they have to hike out to a ranger station, right? It's on their map, and they go out there, and the rangers are out there, and they call the animal control people, and they put the guy in a in a truck or whatever, and take him to the hospital.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, they're like, you know, should we go and get the beaver and have it tested for rabies? And the animal control people are like, yeah, we should go and get the beaver, but we're not allowed to pick it up or carry it.
Only so, you can.
So they made one of the friends go with them, like hike like a mile back to the river or wherever they were, and they made him bag up the beaver and carry it over his shoulder all the way back to the ranger station, right? So they go, they have the beaver, right? And meanwhile, the guy is at the hospital, right? And he's like, you know, I was bit by this beaver and, you know, probably need rabies vaccine or whatever.
Sounds like the beginning of rabies, a joke.
Yeah. It's building up to something.
You have to get the vaccine, right? Because
sounds like an urban legend.
If you don't know,
they give it to you, right? That's the deal.
Right. If you don't know, they give it to you. And rabies, of course, is 100% fatal if you manifest symptoms of it, right? So it's very dangerous, and it's, you know, there's a timetable for this.
And it's like super horrible.
So
super horrible.
You don't just
drop dead.
Like you have a horrifying death that you know is coming.
Well, okay. Why don't you just get the shot no matter what?
Well, so here's where it gets fucked up.
Because it's fucked up how you get the shot.
But is it still a painful process?
Oh yeah, we'll get to that in a second. So normally, yes, they would just give you this shot because they don't know, right? However, if you have the animal in your possession, your insurance requires that the animal be tested positive for rabies before it will cover the shot.
That's insane. So you just don't, you shouldn't have gotten the beaver.
Exactly. Do not bring the rabid animal
just
or
cause you're gonna,
they'll give you the shot.
Now, what if you don't get the shot? And
right. So he had to wait like 3 days for them to come back and test. And yes, in fact, the beaver that, you know, rabidly attacked them did have rabies. And so then after that, they had to give him this, like, you know, they had to give him the shot like right away, you know. And of course, the rabies shot, they have to inject directly into the wound.
Oh, my God.
So I think it's pretty painful.
This was after 3 days.
Yeah. So and then, of course, you know, you have to get the follow-up shots. I think it's like a 14-day process or something like that. So, and he had to go, he was going on another hike, like in Europe. He had this vacation scheduled. And so then he almost wasn't able to go because they had delayed in getting the shot, right? And he had to get the last shot or whatever. So he was able to do it.
Don't get shots in Europe.
But like,
but get lots of pills. Get as many pills as you need.
Yeah, get the rabies pills. Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, the moral of the story is
bring condoms.
Oh, speaking of STDs, here you go. Oh, sorry, dude. Yeah.
Beaver skin condoms.
Is this for me?
What is it?
It says for sexual health and well-being.
It's a little brown packet.
Hey, I'll try anything at this point. Oh, it's a condom.
It's just a condom.
Oh, well, that's funny because I was about to say the moral of the story is make sure you bring condoms to Europe.
It's not just a condom. There's no such thing as just a
condom. Wait, that's the moral of the beaver story?
You have to bring condoms to Europe.
I'm sorry.
Well, they didn't see it coming. That's the thing, is the beaver came up behind them.
Where were they?
In Henneman State Park or something, upstate New York. Not upstate New York, but somewhere hiking in New York.
You ever see that movie, Zombievers?
Zombievers? I have never seen the movie Zombievers.
Zombie.
But the beaver attack in Lake Barcroft was a little bit of a zombiever because they tried to kill it like 3 times and it kept coming back to life.
Did she have to get the shots, the realtor?
Yeah. And it was like
this was like a big. I don't know the story. I'd never heard this before tonight.
And I don't know if you've ever like.
Oh man, it was in the paper.
I had no idea about this. I'm a Doubt and Terrace guy. I don't know what happens like a mile away.
It was in the Washington Post.
It's a mile away, asshole.
It's a mile. That's like eternity, man. I can't know about shit like that.
You measure distance and time.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like a Bedouin who measures the distance to the next town and the number of cigarettes it takes to smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
You just said he said it's a mile away. And you said that's an eternity.
It is an eternity. A mile? Are you kidding me?
Okay, so here's the coda to the beaver story. The rabies
story.
You
got to Lake Barcroft in 2 parsecs.
It's not even 1 parsec.
I had never heard the beaver story. I'm sure shit happens in Alexandria that I don't know about. Like, I heard that there was...
section of the Washington Post.
No, I've heard stories about like some teacher in Alexandria who was fired for some sexual thing. Everybody was talking about it. I had no fucking idea. I'm just oblivious to everything, basically. So whatever.
Okay, so here we're gonna do that. So this is the end of the story.
This is the punchline,
so to speak. So I was at Rare Bird, right? And this was the day that I was hanging out outside with Mike, and Mike went to leave to go to his house to his parents' house to, you know, stop by for a quick sec or whatever.
Do Mike stuff.
Yeah. And as he's leaving, he looks into the trash can on the corner of the street and he's like, hey, it's still in there. I was like, what's still in there? He's like, that rat. Right? So I go and I look, and there's like a baby rat running around in the bottom of this trash can going like,
oh my God.
I thought it was going to be a dead rat. That's
no,
even better.
No, it's a live rat. It's a live rat. And he was like, it was 4 p.m., and he was like, yeah, it was here at 10 a.m. this morning, too. I was like, what the fuck?
Like, and why didn't he let it out?
Adorable little rat. So it was about a 3-foot high trash can, you know, I don't know, three foot high, too high for a baby rat to jump out of, right? And I'm looking down, and it's looking up. And, you know, I'm thinking, like, what do I do here? Because, you know, on the one hand, it would be fairly controversial to most people to some people anyway, to rescue a rat from a trash can. It's like it went in there, and that's where it belongs. But it was really cute. It was
a plague.
Little fluffy. It was a fluffy little thing. It wasn't like all dirty looking, right?
That's how the plague started.
Yeah.
It's like there's a really cute little rat in Europe.
Right.
Like, oh, he's so cute. Yeah. Don't kill him.
So
there was just a bunch of rats. That's
yeah.
No, but it was one especially cute rat that was the one that started the whole thing.
Technically, they don't think that rats were the primary vector for bubonic plague. That has
No, but it really was this one tiny cute rat.
Dirty ass people.
Yeah, that's been debunked. The debunking has been debunked.
Well, it probably has at this point.
Yeah, who knows?
It was Germans.
Yeah. So what happened with the rat?
Okay, so the rat. So like I went. Italian. So I was trying to figure out, you know, how can I get this rat
Did you compromise and like put it down an old lady's blouse?
The rabies story is fresh in my mind. Oh, now I don't believe that rats are common carriers of rabies, but
I'm sure they can.
I was thinking about it. So what I did was I went to my car and I got a piece of rope out of the car because I always have a little bit of rope in the car. And I was planning to like braid it into like a ladder shape sort of thing that the rat could climb up.
Oh.
But I'm not any good at braiding, so I ended up with kind of a knot on the end of a rope. And I was like, well, let me put it down there and see if it's able to like climb up on this thing, right? I lower it down in the trash can, and the rat just like hops on to the end of the rope and like looks up at me.
Uh-oh. Watch out.
And so I just like pull it up. And it comes up and it jumps onto the edge of the trash can and it slides down the outside of the trash can and goes into a hedge. That was the end of that story, right?
Yeah.
But the owner of Rare Bird was out there. We were all kind of looking at it, right? You know, this was a rescue operation. And I was telling her about the rabies thing and the friend, you know, the friend of the friend who got bit by the rabid beaver and brought the beaver in.
I have that shirt.
And telling her, you know.
I have 5 shirts like that.
About everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks later, I go back into Rare Bird.
Yeah.
And she's like, you were telling me about the beaver. I was like, yeah. She's like, my sister was bitten by a rabid gopher over the weekend.
Oh, no.
No shit.
And her friends were like, should we get it and take it?
You made a difference.
And she was like, no.
Don't stay away from that motherfucker. Just
don't
get the shot.
Bring it in.
That's hilarious.
Just go and get the
good
shot.
Advice.
So we saved a life.
Insurance paid.
Wow.
Well, you certainly saved thousands of dollars.
No, but it's all going to even out because that rat is all grown up now.
And it works at Rare Bird serving coffee to people getting splittering rabies all over their coffee.
I like that rat part of the story. That was pretty
good. Yeah, that was really cool. No, that's the best part of this. That's the part that's going to make it so the universe evens out, so Will's good deed becomes a bad deed somehow.
Right, the rat gives birth to Rat Hitler.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that rat is going to fuck shit up.
He's
not cute anymore.
Your mind works in an interesting way.
How long does it take for a baby rat to grow up? Like a few days? Like a couple months?
I think they lived to like 1,000 years old.
1,000?
Yeah. Rats lived to 1,000.
Jimmy has an answer.
Oh.
How big was the rat?
Hundreds.
Yay.
It was tiny.
It was very small.
It was the size of a large mouse.
They can?
Yeah. They can be like this big.
In World War, he's doing like 3 feet, is what Jesse said.
It's like this big.
Oh, no. No, they can get big.
Well, you and Jesse would know about the World War I rats in the trenches. Didn't they get to be the size of cats?
We were alive then.
Yeah.
No, but you guys study history. All right, whatever.
Yeah, study.
Yeah, in the trenches. That's why you guys are tight.
You know how you tell
bugs
the size of a rat in the water? You measure from the dorsal to the tail.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He was a rat. You know, all his family was rats. They would have ratted on us.
So the thing is, so I was going to mention earlier that, like, because you were asking about the beaver.
Dirty. Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever, like, I don't know if you've ever been near, like, up close to a beaver, but they are way larger than you think. Like, they're a way larger animal than you would guess from watching, like,
beaver.
Well, from watching the Lady and the Tramp or a similar film.
Is that the...
They're big creatures.
Is that the animal that was attacking Jimmy Carter and he was like hitting it with like an oar?
No, I think that was a nutria.
Yeah, those are kind
of... Oh, I thought it was a beaver.
That's like a really big rat. A nutria.
It fucked up his political career because he's like... He's on this boat and he's bashing this like animal.
Well, it was also the UFO thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was more than the nutria.
He went on Jimmy Carter went on the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe.
Yeah.
Which is a podcast.
It's the Rose.
And because I think his nephew listens to it or something. And they wanted to talk to him about, you know, talk to him about science and other stuff. But they were like,
he's a bright guy.
The thing is that whole podcast is about like explaining critical thinking and debunking, you know, supernatural phenomena, things like that. And so they're asking him, they're like, we have to ask you about this UFO story you had. And it was funny because he got a little bit testy, because it's funny when Jimmy Carter gets testy.
Right. Such and a nice guy.
He was saying like, I wasn't saying that it was aliens. I was just saying there was an object. It was flying.
We haven't seen one of them
before. I couldn't identify it. It was a UFO.
It's a bug on me.
Oh, shit.
And like it was just hilarious because he was like he was
getting flustered.
He wasn't gonna get he wasn't gonna like pull back from the story.
Right.
And they were all like, "Do you know that Venus is often mistaken?" And he's like, "I'll respect that. I understand that. This was not Venus.
Oh yeah.
I frequented
he
the
knows
outdoors.
Venus. Come
and
on.
Like it was it, yeah. So anyway, it was sort of hilarious. To
so him. He wasn't gonna back down from what he said, but he wasn't gonna like
he wasn't he I don't think he thought he saw aliens, but I think
he said it was unidentified.
Like,
he didn't
know
what it was.
That is.
Yeah, right.
That's some weird
well,
stuff.
Well, wasn't there a big story about that? Like 6 months ago, there was this unidentified thing, and probably wasn't an alien, but we don't know what the fuck it was, right?
It was probably not aliens.
No, but anyway, we did. But just because you don't know what
it
is
weird.
Doesn't mean
it's
alien. Right.
It's weird.
Didn't,
that's my point. Weird.
Didn't Kucinich get abducted by aliens?
No, he is the alien.
Yeah, yeah.
Sam Spinney, who worked for him, was abducted by him.
But he
was also an alien.
He's on good.
I saw
he's
Dennis
one of the good aliens.
He is one of the good aliens. He's one of the aliens that comes down and is all like, I think everyone should have health care.
Yeah, it's weird. On my planet.
On my planet, we take care of each other.
I saw him at the marina. He was walking with the, down the marina with this really attractive woman who was like 3 feet taller
than
him.
I think he's married to a beautiful
German. Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. And then I kind of waved at him. I think he kind of knew that I knew who he was. So I was, you know... I was trying to give him props.
He's
like,
not
I know who you
are. Anymore, right?
No.
He was like, I think he's living a happy, happier life, keeping it real.
I got this flash drive for I did want to see if you could find that movie. If not, it's no big deal. The Man Who Saved the World.
I forgot, but I'll look.
It's
it up.
Okay.
I forgot, but I did get the 7% solution.
Ah, yeah, that's what's. You know what's funny? It's like I was at Nick's house on Tuesday.
It's a hard one to find.
Well, you know what's funny? Like he found it on cable and he TiVo'd it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
because
I was like, my friend is going to give me this. I'm not sure what channel it is, but it's on Tuesday. It's on Tuesday, October 30th, at like 11 or 4 a.m. in the morning or something.
Spooky.
So it's like no one's going to watch it.
Spooky.
But he was looking it up. I was like, oh, it's the guy who directed Star Trek 2 and 6. I was really selling it to him. And I know he's a big Robert Duvall fan. So I was like, and Robert, you know, Watson is played by Robert Duvall and all that, you know, it was going on. And he looked it up and he's like, I keep seeing that it's going to be playing on TV.
Find out what channel that is.
I will. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I go over there every Wednesday. So on Halloween, I'm going to watch that on the TiVo. But
I bet it would was like Stars.
It was something like that. It wasn't, I'm not sure it was Stars. It was some... He gets like the I don't know, DirecTV or whatever it is.
Okay, well I get a lot of channels.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he gets, but
the concept of channels
Cox, cables,
seems weird
Cox.
Now.
That is pretty out there, man. Channels.
Channels.
What's the deal with? I don't understand.
What's
the deal, man? What is this 1, 2, 3, 4 channel? What is it?
There's like a bunch of channels, and there's like they were like here is an arbitrary grouping of things. And by the way, this arbitrary grouping of things is going to rapidly and steadily shift entirely away from the original concept.
Right, and just become a reality show competition.
Yeah. This cable
chefs
channel
murder
is all,
each other.
It's why I laugh out loud at the Rick and Morty when they're watching interdimensional television at one point, and they're watching House Hunters, and it's like these rednecks who are hunting like actual houses.
Oh, that's good.
And it's such a dumb joke, but it's so much cleverer than the thing it's parodying. You know,
there's
like
some
that's
truth
what
to
makes
that.
It so genius.
I'm with you. What were we talking about? It was interesting. I just don't remember now.
Yeah, beavers and Dennis Kucinich.
Beavers and Dennis Kucinich. No, there was something. The
he looks like a beaver.
There was some other train of thought we were on that like
Nutria.
No, it wasn't that.
Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter got chased by
what
a
was Jimmy just explaining? He was explaining something that we were talking about.
He
doesn't remember. It was like 30 seconds ago.
Are you talking about the rat?
No, it wasn't the rat.
He was talking about he found a big rat.
I was talking about Cable in the movie.
Cable in the movie. No, he said he had lots
7%
of cable.
So, I was like saying,
you were talking about that.
It was me. I'm sorry. No, now I remember. It was like, oh, yeah, you got to find that movie. I was trying to, it's all for my own selfish purposes. I was trying to get Patrick to download this movie about the Russian guy who saved the world because he didn't make the nuclear strike happen. Yeah, yeah, no, so basically, the world would have ended if this guy hadn't said no.
A nuclear strike is not happening.
No, I do not do it.
Until
you blow me.
Yet.
You must blow me or give me Return of Jedi.
Return of Jedi.
Return of Jedi. While you blow me, then I blow up U.S. states.
Spies like us.
I saw that in the theater in 85.
I don't think I ever saw that movie.
But I didn't. I don't remember because I was like five. You know, but like they took. It was like the babysitter like took us because she wanted to see it, I think. And so like I remember having M&Ms and no Coke. So my throat was all like, you know. She gave us like all like snacks, but she didn't give us fucking soda.
It was
a nightmare. So all I remember is being very uncomfortable at age five.
Was it Skyline?
I think it was actually. Yeah, I think it was Skyline. God, that was
so like when I saw Star Trek 5
when they
on
just
the
had
airplane.
One. When they just had one Skyline. Remember, when there was just one Skyline theater.
Ooh. Yeah, and that they was, added on the 7 through 12.
When that would have been when there was just one.
Yes,
Skyline.
Yes, absolutely. It was in the 1 through 6. It was in totally, man. That, you're bringing back memories, man.
Memories.
Horrible memories.
I saw Star Trek 6 at Skyline.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Jurassic Park 6 times at Skyline.
Yeah.
I saw really? Pulp Fiction at Skyline with James's mom.
And I could have gone to that.
Yeah,
I was invited. That ruined my life.
Daniel really, and he has a theory. I don't think this theory is wrong. So explain the situation.
Okay, this goes back to 1994. I was hanging out at somebody's house, and James wanted to go see Pulp Fiction, and he thought of me, and he calls me up at that mutual friend's house, and I'm like, nah, man, I just want to hang out here. I don't really want to go to see Pulp Fiction. So then he calls up Patrick, and then Patrick and James go see Pulp Fiction, and it's like they like have this bond for the rest of eternity that I will never know. And I would have
attest to that.
You
that
will
did
never
happen.
You will never know.
And I would have my life would have been massively different had I just gone to see Pulp Fiction that night.
Oh man.
Yeah. I
was at Molly's house at the time. So it was like it was a girl's house. So that's the reason
let's,
I didn't. Yeah. So
let's blame Molly.
Girls ruined your life. So what would
Molly,
you be doing?
Who?
What would be different? What would you be doing if you had seen Pulp Fiction that day and you like your eyes?
I'd be sitting here, but I'd have $100,000 in my bank account.
Were you like touching your boobs and stuff?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I've done like we weren't really doing much, but that was the prospect of touching a boob to me was more interesting than going to see a movie that I had.
Well,
heard of.
Yeah.
See, when you're young, you don't understand like
it wasn't even
awesome
actually
Pulp
touching
Fiction
a boob; it was just the prospect. You know,
I mean, Pulp Fiction's an amazing movie. I remember because I have a particular memory of that movie because I loved going to movies. I loved watching movies prior to seeing Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
But when I saw Pulp Fiction, something in my mind like broke open, and I was like, "Oh, film can do all
and
these
you know what's funny?
Things."
The first time I saw Pulp Fiction, the first time I saw Pulp Fiction was
they're just talking.
The second time James saw it, and he saw it on video. It might have been the third time, but he saw it on video, and we were watching it with Dave Beard. So my first time watching Pulp Fiction was like, this movie's amazing. You know what I mean? It blew me away. It blew me away, and he does suck. But I was watching it with James, James's mom, and Dave Beard, and James's mom, she'd already seen it, so she's like, oh, this movie's perfect, and she's smoking her cigarette, she's laughing, and I'm just absorbing the whole thing. I'm like, this is brilliant. I love this. And then Dave Beard at the end, he's like, yeah, I've seen it a few times before. I didn't really like watching it that time. And it's like, it's the same fucking movie that it was two times ago, you dick. You're saying that because I'm here, and you're going to be an asshole.
Yeah, that guy.
He was just trying to be a prick.
You think there's something about watching it this time
yeah.
that I just
yeah,
didn't
like. Yeah, it was like, well, this time, I mean, it, I just wasn't as into it
yeah,
this
time. Yeah, the voice. The
what
voice.
A jerk, man.
Son of a bitch.
You think that guy's still alive?
I don't care.
Somebody killed him.
If he is alive, what do you think he's doing right at this moment?
Who knows? I do.
He works for Google, cataloging obscure podcasts.
He's a millionaire. He's got a beautiful wife and life.
I doubt it.
Who knows? No. But one thing I will say about him is I don't judge people by how they were when they're 15 or 16. I just don't, because you know people change. But that guy, I cannot imagine him being less of a dick than he was then.
Oh no.
I think he's still an asshole.
Him and Brett Kavanaugh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Well,
Brett.
Yeah, I mean,
I
sort of.
Yeah.
I
still like beer.
Yeah.
I like beer.
Brett Kavanaugh is less of a, what's that right word, conniving like prick, beer. You know? And he's about the most shitty person in the world.
I went to high school with a bunch of assholes.
Oh, yeah.
Like Brett.
Oh, yeah. There was this thing where, and you'll appreciate this, Jimmy, where there was like some thing online that was going around saying like the songs written by Minor Threat were probably about Brett Kavanaugh, about the preppy kids in Georgetown.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like, you all know that type of just fucking dick white guy, you know. I mean, it's not that we came from, like, poor backgrounds, but, like, that kind of just prep school prick who thought he could do whatever he wanted. Yeah. Yeah, and that kind of person feels they have a right to, back in the 80s, I know that happened. I believe that it happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember I posted something on Facebook saying, like, my thing on Facebook was kind of to troll people, but it was really, my point was, like, look, we all knew that Roe v. Wade was going to probably be overturned the minute Donald Trump won, but does it have to be overturned with the vote of a rapist?
Yeah. I mean, it's like the extra.
That was my point. And then this guy commented, who's a very liberal guy. He's a gay guy. I know. He's always posting stuff more liberal than me. He's like, well, I don't automatically think because he's a Republican that he's a rapist. I'm like, no, I think he's a rapist because I believe the women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Gorsuch was never accused of this shit.
Yeah, of course not.
And he went to the same school, you know?
Yeah, he literally went to the same school. And everyone who is like, oh, they're just making a big deal. It's like, no, they just very reluctantly and sadly like helped you get through Gorsuch because that was like, oh, we're still trying to pretend like things are normal.
Right.
And he's a relatively normal guy, as far as we can tell.
Well, I mean, his political views are probably just as vile to me as is any Republican. I mean, like, as Alito. It's like Alito, Gorsuch, Thomas, and now Kavanaugh and Roberts.
Similar to like like Mitt Romney is one of those guys, or even George W. to a certain extent. Like as horrific as some of their proposed policies might be, they probably are perfectly nice people.
Yeah, Alito, I don't think is a rapist. I don't think Alito is a rapist.
No, he seems kind of like
I think he's a piece of shit, but I don't think he's a rapist. So, like, I was trying to make that point. It's like, no.
Okay. Can we go through all Clarence the Supreme Thomas. Court justices, and you tell us which ones are rapists and which ones are not?
I like this game.
Yeah, this is Daniel saying this, by the way.
Yeah.
This is...
all the all right. living...
Kagan, rapist. Should we start
from the... Well, I was just thinking, like, the ones that are on the thing.
Not from the beginning of history.
Basically, it'll be like however many we're on. What 200 people
or,
were on?
Or is it just any male justice prior to 1998 was indeed a rapist?
They're all
default.
Non-rapists, including Clarence Thomas, who wasn't a rapist. The first rapist
that Rehnquist guy
is Kavanaugh. And you know, and I think that there were a lot of people who were just complete pieces of shit who were on the Supreme Court. None of them were rapists. Kavanaugh's a rapist, though. I'm serious.
I bet a few of them were rapists.
But no.
Meritable. Sure. I bet you there were some marital rapists.
Marital.
Somewhere along the line.
Like when you couldn't sue your spouse, you know, like. Cause
marital rape was like legal in New York City till 1986.
Yeah. Well, I was reading about that in my paralegal studies class. One of the case studies was about how torts for a while couldn't be filed from, you know.
Yeah, and it was like the whole concept was literally based on is like, oh, no, she's like, she's yours.
They're the same person. They are both Mr.
She's an object. Yeah. You can't rape a human that's been converted into an object by a legal document.
Yeah, she's not Jamie. She's Mrs. Patrick Ireland. Yeah, you guys are one person, so you can't sue yourself. I mean, that was the legal thinking.
Exactly.
It really was, yeah.
Who was the justice who killed someone in a duel?
Oh, that's old school. Jesse might know.
Nah.
You don't know?
Nah,
I wish I knew that.
You know, Taft was
probably
Supreme.
Probably a couple of them. That would have been back in the day.
We're back in the 80s. There were a lot of Supreme Court justices. Ago.
No, yeah. I think it was John Roberts. 1900s or something. Hold
really?
On.
Really? 1900s.
Interesting. Was it during the Taft Court? That was the he Taft was the Supreme Court Taft Chief Justice.
Dun, dun, dun. Taft Court.
He was in all three branches of government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was anybody else in? He was the only one, right?
He's the only one who served in all three yeah. major. All I mean, three. There were probably lawyers and judges, but I'm sure there were. But
was anybody else president and justice?
I don't think so. No.
I think he's the only one.
He was the only one.
Yeah.
Until Obama.
You think he'll be on the Supreme Court?
Maybe.
They should put Bill on the Supreme Court.
That would be
awesome. Do you want to see those hearings?
Bill's
like the Bill Clinton hearings?
Now. All right.
Yeah,
so.
I think it's. I'm ready to reevaluate Bill Clinton.
Yeah. You kind of have to. I mean, look.
Kind of with Juanita Broderick on that one.
Yeah.
Politically, no, but I can see it.
Yeah. I mean, no, there's no way to. The thing is, here's how I.
Hold on.
My thing with that is, like, let's say
that's
Bill
how
Clinton.
I see it.
Let's say Bill Clinton.
This is the new segment from Daniel Johnson.
That's how I see it.
All right.
Is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Is that me swishling something in my mouth?
Oh no.
Oh, that was me. Oh, that was Jesse. Okay. I thought that was part of the clip. Like that was like that's how I see it.
All right. Let's see how you see
so
about
here's
this.
Here's how I see it. Okay. Look, Bill Clinton, scumbag. What he did was inexcusable. The problem here is that, like, let's give the Republicans that Bill Clinton is this terrible guy, right? The problem
can we
is
just,
that,
like, move on?
No. Here's the thing. The problem is they're the ones who keep bringing it up. And they bring it up because they're basically their argument. No. Their argument is that it's okay for all these Republicans to have raped people because Bill Clinton did it too. They don't say, like, oh, it's wrong for everybody. They say, oh, no, these guys are good. Because Bill Clinton did it, that's the problem with their argument.
Right.
It's like
one Democrat and then like a bunch of
Republicans. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, okay, no one's excusing what Bill, he's not even in power. His wife lost. Get over it. I understand that. But if you're going to bring that up, your argument should be, yeah, he's repugnant. So are all the guys that you're defending right now. They're repugnant. You know?
Right. It's
they
like,
missed that part of it.
It's like that, what is it, that battlefield simulator they have on? They have on the computer where you set up, like, 10 trolls against one U.S. Marine or something like that, 1,000.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's
the
like
chickens versus the T-Rex.
It's one Democratic rapist versus versus 1,000 Republican rapists.
Yeah, and
who wins out?
And they're all like, well, Bill Clinton, and that's their fucking thing. I mean, like, Bill Clinton didn't do anything. I mean, I'm not Juanita Broderick. That's the one that.
Right,
you
that's
know,
the one where you're
I
like,
don't know.
Okay, history,
I did not
you know.
Have sex
See,
with that woman.
But, like, for example, with Bill, look, I'm not, if he did that, that's disgusting, and I think he did do inappropriate shit. The thing is, like, with Bill Cosby, there were 50 fucking women who all said the same thing. They all, like, you know, like, all of them, they said, he drugged me, and then he violently raped me. So, you know what I'm saying? So that M.O., but most of Bill Clinton's M.O. was just, he got, like, he was just a womanizer. I mean, I'm not again.
No, he probably. I think it's.
You think
highly,
the Juanita Broderick actually punched her in the face, or I mean,
I think.
I mean, that's what I'm not
no,
sure
no,
of. You
yeah,
know?
I mean, not. Every, you should never be sure of any of it.
Well,
it's more about the sort of like the pattern of things.
Well, that's the thing. The pattern isn't that he hit women; it's that he, like, took advantage of women that he shouldn't have taken advantage of.
Absolutely,
yeah. But like the violent part is not part of his MO. Like there was like that was one. Person
yeah,
who said
maybe
that
he was drunk or something, but
I don't.
Still
I'm not sure.
It.
I'd be. Look, no, right. He's still a scumbag. But I'm just saying that.
Oh no, I agree. Yeah. I mean, like the thing is, look,
they act like that is a fact, and it's like
no,
and that forgives like every horrible thing that every Republican's ever done.
But they've created this. There's this. I don't know. I don't think this was done on purpose, but they've created this scenario where like they'll make an argument that on the face of it sounds logical, which is like innocent before proven guilty. Anyone could toss around accusations. You have to be careful. Famous
which
people
is all
have
true.
Enemies.
Sure.
Those are all perfectly valid arguments in the abstract.
Yeah.
But as you note, they disappear when you start talking about 50 people, you know, this tons of stories.
The Bill Cosby thing, like once it got to about 25, I was like, he did it.
And it just makes it so, but you 50, still have the issue, I mean, you still have the issue of like for normal people, They're like dealing with a situation where they're not involved with a famous person or Bill Cosby or something. They're not part of a class action of people they find out about through the tabloids and stuff, and then can group together and like actually do something.
Right.
So there has to be. If you look at the statistics, it looks like obviously it makes sense to bias towards believing the person who's making the accusation.
Innocent until proven guilty is a legal concept.
Yeah,
it doesn't. Not for the Supreme Court. We all have to sit around and be like, oh, well, I don't know.
Well, that it's true. Like that
and well, Kobe. And the thing is that that's the thing is like the rare cases where somebody makes a false accusation are usually found out really fucking quickly because those stories don't hold together very well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the stories.
I think Tupac got a bad rap. I think Tupac got a bad rap, actually.
Yeah, well, Tupac I know less about, but I also recall that
he got well, I don't want to get into that whole, you know, but like, no, he was he got convicted of sexual abuse, but in the media they made it out like he was a sodomist and all this stuff, and they didn't find any evidence. They didn't find any evidence of any of that.
That's another issue. That's like a big issue with the laws, is that like they don't, a lot of them don't have like the nuance, and right. I think that's a cultural thing. I think there's just not the cultural nuance to be like, you know, like, for example, the Louis C.K. thing. Louis C.K. thing is super fucked up and weird and horrible, and it's like a terrible thing that the people he victimized had to go through, that he was like sitting in his room. He's like, do you mind if I take out my dick? And then he like takes out his dick and just starts jerking off. Like, that is
into
a problematic.
Potted plant.
However, it is important to differentiate that from like the Weinstein like power play like rapist shit. The thing is like, it doesn't mean Louis C.K. should get his career back. It just means like maybe he shouldn't be in, maybe he's not in jail. Maybe he's like pressured into like donating a bunch of money and like being like, just you do something to fix this. Whereas Weinstein or Cosby, they're like, no, you have to go to jail.
Yeah.
You did horrible things to women for years.
Oh, yeah. It's
We have a plan for Louis C.K. Mike had a plan for Louis
C.K. Oh, no. I got to hear this.
Well, you know how we've been filming these internet shows, right?
Oh my god, I think I know where he's going with this.
So Mike, you know, has this plan that we're going to film, you know, show number 2, show number 3, show number 4, and we're going to start integrating some skits and commercials, right? And he was going to do commercials for all of the business in Falls Church. He was going to do, you know, an advertisement for CD Seller, an advertisement for Rare Bird, an advertisement for the Locker Room, an advertisement for Space Bar, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And what he was saying was that he was going to have guests on the show to read these commercials. And what he was going to do is he was going to rehabilitate minor sex offenders.
Oh, my God. Like Louis C.K.?
Right. So he's going to have Louis C.K. on the show, right? And he's going to say, you know, so they're going to be sitting there, and he's going to have Louis C.K. read an advertisement for, you know, come to CD Seller, right? We've got all your CDs and we've got some DVDs too, right? And then so Mike is sitting there. He's talking to Louis C.K. and he's going to say, you know, so we're having you on the show here. You know, you used to be a comedian. You would make $1 million per show. You are.
Would they be like sitting down?
They'd
or?
Be sitting down, right? He would say, So you were one of the most famous people in the world, and now you're on
this
an internet show. Talking to me, reading advertisements for small businesses in Falls Church. When we come back, I want to hear your thoughts on that. Here's O-Line.
Kind
of cool.
I think that's not a bad idea, because I was wondering, since we're involved in the production of these things, like, I'd be like nervous about like being participating in the rehabilitation of.
You know, I know we all kind of take the downfall from this,
but you know what? That might work.
But the way he phrased it, and I think
everybody's going down.
If he can work out a way to phrase that, not only is he on an internet show produced for like the local Falls Church audience, effectively. But if he could also somehow slip in the fact that he himself does not use the internet.
Yeah.
And so he seems that, you know, he's not even entirely sure how the whole thing works.
Yeah.
He just knows that he can, well, like.
I'm not going to be watching this show. I'm on it, and I'm, you know,
right.
I barely know how this is going to get out here. So you used to be famous. You're talking to me now. How do you feel about that?
Who are you? No, here's the thing. Isn't it? Remember, like the Cosby kid recently, who was bagging groceries at Trader Joe's.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got all these jobs from it. So maybe this is kind of like that.
Well, he right. also he also got a lot of GoFundMe money that he immediately donated to charity.
Yeah, he's because he was just like, yeah. I mean, like I'm an actor. You know, I'm not always yeah. having a gig. Too, you know.
Right. Yeah. Okay. David Smith Terry, born 1823, died 1889.
Okay. Oh man.
A California jurist and Democratic politician who was the fourth Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of California.
Okay.
And an author of the Constitution of 1879. He won a duel with U.S. Senator David C. Broderick in Broderick's second duel in 1859.
Juanita Broderick. Do you think she's related?
Oh, well, we're going to look that up in a second because yeah, we can right. click on this name. He died in 1889 after being shot by a bodyguard of U.S. Justice Stephen J. Field.
Whoa. This is some, like, cool. some like old school court action.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
So while you look that up, like Mike just texted me and he said, I hate it when people say shit show. It's a cop out.
I think it's pretty descriptive of certain situations.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, I think it's like I just left my job. What a shit show.
Mike
you know?
Prefers the term hot They're mess.
Yeah.
Hot mess is pretty good.
Yeah. I like it. I dig it.
I like it. I shit like show. It. Hot mess. Is it? Shit show. Hot mess.
Shit show. Hot mess. Shit I got a guitar show. Here. I could put some chords to that. We have a song.
You're good. You're You need to like change a few strings on
That's
that.
How yeah, I that's see it. The guitar is That's how I see it. The guitar is falling apart. I shouldn't have put that A string on because it's all like so much thicker than the E string.
Oh no!
Yeah, so it's gonna feel all weird. So I'm just gonna have to fucking buy it.
Maybe that's not the A string.
Who knows? I mean, I've played on guitars with like really weird strings because I know nothing about guitar.
Dude, just like get a whole new set and just replace them all.
How much is a new set of strings?
Like $7.
Yeah, I know, oh, that's gonna break my budget, man. $7? Are you out of your mind? So you get like a full set. See, I've got all these strings in here.
Yeah, but aren't they all like mixed up?
Yeah, it's all mixed up.
Throw them all
so,
away.
Like, yeah.
You think I should?
It's $7 for freshly manufactured
the problem,
strings.
The problem with that is, okay, I'll just put brand new strings on.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then you jingle jangle on
Yeah.
them.
But the problem is that the only strings that break on me are the A
Throw
string.
Throw them away at the store and we'll just like take them and resell them.
Okay. Well, no. Here's the thing. Some of these strings, I feel like.
No, wait.
I'm going to have to hold on to some of these strings. Like, I'll get rid of.
Is it nostalgia?
No. It's that, like, if you have the ones with, like, the grain on it or the ridge. The
Daniel has a guitar bag, but it's like a Mary Poppins style guitar bag.
He's got all kinds of stuff in here.
Pulled a grandfather clock out of the thing.
See, the thing is, I'll get rid of all these high strings because I don't really. Like, I can play a gig without the high strings. I can't play a gig without the low string.
You can't play a gig without a fucking A string. And
I can't.
That's about it. Yeah.
An E, A, and a D. And a G makes it, I can get through without a G. It just sounds like shit. But
this
it doesn't.
The
you can,
A string is like the most crucial string.
Oh, I have to have the A string.
This conversation is effectively meaningless for me.
Elephants and dogs grow big ears. So E, A, D. G B E,
the handy phrase. To
like,
remember
yeah,
that.
Elephants and
you
dogs.
Don't
so
really
that's
need
the lowest string
the
is the
E,
and the second lowest is the A, and then there's the D and the G, and those are the four with power chords you actually need.
G is fucked up.
The G, the G you kind of need. Well, it's you still use it when you do the
no,
higher
you,
power
you need
chords,
it, but it's always like weirdly like off. Like acoustically.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm saying I don't need that fourth string, the G, grow. The elephants and dogs grow, that one. I don't need that one to fake my way through a gig, but I need the top three strings are all thick, and the bottom three strings are all like really stringy. So
yes.
I can make any of the thick strings work for an E, an A, or a G if I have to in a pinch. So I'm not going to throw away the thick strings.
Didn't like Sebado, they just used like the guitar player used four strings and the bass player used like two strings or something. Like it was like
super. Well, didn't the presidents of the United States do something?
I think
similar
they did
that?
Something like that too. Yeah.
I just feel like there might be a situation where I'm at a band practice, I break a string, and I have to make do.
Dude,
and
that's
one
a
of
lot
these
of strings. Is it just a bunch of like D strings and like G strings?
I don't know what strings they are. Is
it's
there
a
any
bunch
way
of like it's a bunch of B's and
I don't
E's.
Even know what these are. I can't because they're all different gauges.
Let me see that. What are the gauges?
Do you will you be able to tell me? Well, you told me that the one was an A.
Tell me what the gauges are.
All right, this one is a.
So for the home audience. Daniel is just literally has a fistful of guitar strings.
This is a 9. Gauge 9.
A 9 is a high E string.
Ah, this 11?
Just is pulling
an 11 is a high E string.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Oh, wait. So these are both the same?
Those are like a heavier one or a lighter one.
Oh, how annoying is that? Okay, what's a 13?
A 13 is usually like a B.
Oh, so
you could probably like you could usually? Probably use an 11 for a B.
How does this coding system work?
Yeah,
11 would
bizarre.
Be a badass B.
What about a 46? What about
a 46?
Wait.
A 46
wait,
is an E string.
Why did it jump so high up?
Yeah. I need to keep.
Why did it jump so high up?
Because my bag has like all these.
How many numbers? Like so, a 9 is an E, and an 11 is an E, and a 46.
E is the high. That's the high E, the 9.
So why is it the lowest number? What about the 11?
Oh no,
is
I don't even
also
know if
a high
the string
E,
is
right?
In here.
The 11 could—it's like a thicker gauge.
I feel yeah, like but I don't. I'm just trying to suss out exactly how this coding system works. Is there some rhyme or reason?
There's a small range to like you can have your E string be a little bit lighter.
Is it like a shotgun gauge?
Yeah,
like a gauge of wire where like the lower the number, the wider it is.
Good question. No, I'm getting these all
like
in order
bigger,
now.
The bigger the number, like the thicker it is.
The bigger the number, the thicker it is.
Like the thickness is what matters, not the length.
Well,
that's what I hear.
It depends on the shape of the wrench.
Yeah. You have like 17s and...
Like in the movie Happiness, when things are thicker, it gets more intense.
Do you have any 17s or 15s or something?
Don't. What's that?
17s.
Yeah, I have a. Well, here's the thing. Okay, right now I'm trying to get them in order now because I have a pen out. And I'm gonna write on them what they are for these at least.
One of those boxes should tell you like or give you
a rough
estimate of like what the actual gauge.
Well, that's why
sort of
I kept all this
roughly.
Bullshit.
Yeah, like what does that wrapper say?
Well, these wrappers are different from the there's the paper wrappers, and then there's the. Then there's like the plastic one that has a bunch of strings.
So you see those are two different types of sets.
Okay, well let's go through the paper wrappers first. The paper wrappers have individual strings in them. So so what is a 9? That's a high E?
That's a high E.
Okay.
This is fascinating.
Okay, so then what's a 10? What's a 10?
A 10 is also a high E. It's just like a little bit thicker.
Jeez, why don't they just put that on the fucking thing?
See, like I know Jesse is
because they're bitches. That's what
so 11. What's an 11?
I know Jesse knows this stuff.
Oh my god!
Like I'm starting to think Jesse.
It's gonna
might be
a while.
Are you fucking with Daniel?
I'm like gonna be putting on my an hour from now. So what's 151?
Yeah, exactly.
High E.
I have 4 11s, so I have, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Because
you got some of those
five,
like, weird like super slinkies. Or
I have 7 high E strings, and I will never, and the high E on my guitar is busted, so I can't even put a high E on it. Okay, what's a 13?
A 13, it would be like a B.
It would be like a B, or it is a B?
It would be a B.
Okay.
Sir.
All right, so I got
this conversation
B.
is a B.
Yeah. We're boring. I'm boring the shit out of you guys.
We can play. So this is like listening to someone explain the rules of an extremely boring card game.
Okay, well, this is the last question. This is the last. No,
hey, let's learn how to play.
Do you
Canasta.
Have like 30s or 20s or
what's
17?
A 16? What's a 16 and what's a 17?
A 16 would be like a G. A 17 would be a G.
So these are Gs.
I think. Yeah.
You think?
I'm pretty sure.
G's, B's, knees.
All right, and then the last one that I have a 46 randomly.
That's an E.
All right, that's a low E.
So, okay, so...
It's a high
E.
The conclusion from all
B,
of this...
The higher, the lower.
...is not only do you need a new set of strings, you need a new guitar, because you're... It's broken.
I saw that, Jinx.
No,
get
no.
Get a new guitar.
No, it's just I just need to have one part screwed on to get the high E on there.
Well, so get it fixed.
I'm bringing it in tomorrow to Fox's.
Well, is that what you were when you were talking about all the springy business
yeah,
before?
Yeah, the springy is missing.
You kept calling them springy springs?
Yeah, the springy spring.
Springy springs.
Yeah, like the two parts that like would probably be hard to find I have, but the springy spring
He's got
I
the
don't
screwy,
have.
The screwy bits.
I got the screwy screw, but not the springy spring. All right, we're boring the hell out of everybody.
Did Thurgood Marshall ever kill anyone in a duel?
No.
No, no, no. He, no. He just should've. He just strangled people to death with his bare hand with his bare hands while they slept. Old people.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's it was like, a hobby, though. It was legal back
it was
then.
In Barcroft.
Yeah. He did live in Barcroft.
There must have been at least one other Supreme Court justice who killed a man.
Did you find anything?
No, I haven't been able to find it. It's been scrubbed from the internet. That's why I know that it's
Taft
true.
Taft probably sat on somebody or something.
Was he on the Supreme Court?
Yeah,
after the presidency.
Yeah.
He's
the only one
yeah.
to do that.
He may have been chief.
No, he wasn't.
No,
chief?
Just a regular.
Associate.
Regular.
Associate Justice.
Associate.
Kiefer Sutherland's going to be.
Taft was the Chief Justice.
Was he really?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
You guys are busted.
From
busted.
Like 19.
Actually, no, it makes sense. Yeah.
From 1910 to like. He was on for just a little bit.
Briefly.
One season.
No, it couldn't have been 1910. He
was
the president then.
He died.
Was it Harding? Like 1920 to 1930 or something. I think it was like, it was only like a 10-year period, but it was still cool that.
William Howard Taft.
So what are you pulling out of your bag now?
See, I've got like.
That's where you got those nines.
Yeah. No. Is it?
Yeah.
I don't even know, man. This shit's stressing
me. See, look
out.
On there. Does it say nine?
I'm getting stressed. I'm going to talk to my therapist about this, but like, I'm not seeing her for another month. Like, these strings are out of control.
See, that'll tell you on there.
I'm telling you, man. This is stressing me out.
You got to bring in all the giant
packets
of strings.
Let me see that box.
Look at the box. Well, I've got other boxes that are similar.
Yeah, like, okay, so this is a light, so the tens are going to be the high E's.
This is the one that you were looking at earlier.
Yeah, that was a similar kind of thing.
Oh, Jesus.
But like it's like it just it's like you know, like the 40 something's going to be a low E and 30 something's going to be an A and 20 something's going to be a D.
Can you use these as garrote wires or would you suggest piano wires?
I think
that's all they're good for now.
Any of these would do damage. You could poke somebody with them.
But would they so
it would draw fucking
now,
blood.
And I don't know if anyone here knows the answer to this, but I've never been entirely sure. Is a garrote wire, is it intended to be?
Yes.
Like, is it supposed to
yes.
Is it supposed to cut into the neck or is it just supposed to be for strangling? I was just curious because like, I don't know enough about murdering people to understand which would be the better option.
It
presumably
helps.
Well, the thing is
I think it's more for strangulation.
Yeah, because otherwise, if they're bleeding, that's not great for evidence stuff. But on the other hand, it is like, you know, you're
well, you want
solid.
Something really thin so that they can't get their own fingernails
exactly,
under
yeah.
it. Yeah, I think.
But
I mean,
thicker than going to slice through
I'm
their neck.
I'm just theorizing here. Yeah.
Premature ejaculation.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Premature
garotting, ejaculation.
Garotting your
I do
own
imagine
penis.
Exclamation point.
Would it be funny if somebody thought that like autoerotic asphyxiation was the same thing as premature ejaculation?
That would be hilarious.
That would be humorous.
So
it would be
now,
funny if someone were to think
yeah,
that.
Yeah, not right. that I ever thought that.
Air quotes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a complete imbecile.
Air quotes.
That's how I see it.
Oh, jeez. You're killing me here. No, but I was kind of curious to ask. I mean, it's always a little silly to ask the questions that make you imagine stuff that you can't prove, because I've forgotten the word that represents that concept. But
whiteness.
Counterfactual hypothetical.
Whiteness.
The white man.
Do you imagine it? Do you think anyone's been murdered? You presume somebody must have been murdered by strangulation who was, I'm sure somebody's told this as a joke or something before, where it's like you murder somebody and then it turns out they are into autoerotic asphyxiation.
So then they don't have a case anymore because they're like, you liked it.
Well, I'm just saying that like it becomes awkward.
Right. It's like the guy hit that woman with his car. The politician in New York a couple weeks ago, right? He hit the woman with his car, and then he was like, well, she was going to die in a couple She had cancer. She was going to die.
Oh my God. Did he really? Did that really happen?
Was that a Democrat or a Republican?
I think it was a Democrat.
Wow.
That's interesting. I can look.
There's not too many Republicans up there.
Yeah.
Upstate more.
See, so that's okay. Right. No, the fact that that Democrat did that makes it okay for all these Republicans to do everything they're doing.
Yes. To form, to form the prison camps.
Oh my God. I was telling Henry about that, like Patrick's theory on like, and how Patrick turned out to be right. I was saying how like, about a year ago, Patrick was saying that, like, yeah, if you're like a Trump supporter, you just have like a weird penis. It's not like you have a small penis, because you can have a small penis and still please a woman. You live, go about your life.
Well, yeah, because Will and I were talking about that.
You guys? Okay.
Yeah, Will and I were talking about it, and we came up with the whole thing where the deal was is
deformed.
Is it wouldn't work if he had a micro penis. Like, if he had a truly deformed penis, then that's something worthy of sympathy. You don't make fun of somebody with mental challenges.
Yeah,
you
it's
don't
just
make fun
small
of,
and deformed.
You don't like if somebody like had a deformed, you know, like a hand on their shoulder type business. You right. don't make fun of that person. You're like, that's awesome that person made it as far as they did. So that wouldn't work. It's only his personality is clearly the result of not somebody with a horrifyingly weird mutilated penis, just an uncomfortably odd penis, not deformed. Just like you're not frightened of it. You're kind of sad.
Right.
You're,
it's the kind of penis that you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and you just kind of go. Oh, yeah,
just yeah
another,
you're just you
another
know,
day how, on this fucking planet Earth.
Yeah, it's not a disability. It's just like you have a
yeah,
really
it like
gross...
works right. It's just an unpleasant penis.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's what I was saying. I was like, I thought that was kind of far, like a little bit far out. I was like, I don't know, but it turned out to be totally true. it was dead on, man. You guys hit the nail on the head with that.
It's hard to make a prediction. That's too weird for this time.
No, yeah, you guys were that was the prediction that was absolutely dead
oh,
on.
Oh, yeah, so we'll make some new ones.
Yeah, I think we should.
And then we'll will them into existence.
Yeah.
It'll be excellent.
Well, it makes sense that he would have, like, a really gross, badly shaped penis. Small, but, like, weird looking. It would disturb people, except unless they want your money. Right. And they'll say, yeah. "Oh, it's wonderful! I love it."
Well, and right. that's
we all saw this coming.
Money.
Yeah,
from the moment that he, you know, was standing on stage in the debate, and he was like, "Yeah, there's nothing wrong down
nothing
there.
Nothing wrong.
Yeah,
here.
There's nothing wrong down there.
You're
believe
the puppet.
Yeah,
you're the puppet.
Yeah.
Oh, right there and then. Man.
Yeah,
jeez.
Oh, you're the puppet.
Mushroom Don. They should call him Mushroom Don.
So, what do you think about my idea for a Halloween costume? Right, I want to. You know, there's these places on the internet where you can, they send you a kit.
The darknet. Right.
The darknet. You go on the darknet. They send you a kit, and you give yourself a boner.
Oh, yeah. The,
and you
to, like,
make a
dildo.
Mold of your
yeah.
dick, send it to them, and they'll make a dildo. Right. Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I want to get a dildo made of my penis.
Absolutely. Yes.
And then as a Halloween costume,
I
will just walk around. Well, you,
is
mean,
that indecent exposure or not?
Do I get a discount for ordering five is the question,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But for my Halloween costume, I'll wear the dildo out of my fly and just walk around the neighborhood and people will be like, oh my God, he's got his cock out. And I'll just pull it out and be like, look, it's fake.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's brilliant.
It's
trick
fake.
Or treat.
What color?
It's like they
but
never
you will,
do. They
but it's
going to
be flesh
difference.
Colored. It's going to be my flesh colored.
And you will have a boner too, so you
right.
can compare it. Like, no, here's my real dick and this is the fake one, see?
It'll be indistinguishable from having
right.
my dick out except that I'll be able to pull it out and you know, throw it at someone.
The
I
ladies
like,
will
I like
love
that
it.
You phrase this as a costume when it's more it's like an April Fool's joke.
It's a costume. Yeah, I'm gonna have my dick out. That's my costume.
My costume is a
no,
of
it's
a felon.
It's not his dick.
Sexual
it's...
offender.
That would be hilarious if no, but it would be funny if like I know what he's saying. He's saying he has the fake dick. It would just be funny if like he starts this trend and then like the cops are like, all right, stop being a jackass. And then the next year, like some guy actually just has his dick out walking around, and they're like, oh, he's just
it's tradition.
It's yeah. called New York. You
know, providing cover for the people.
If
yeah.
you get five of them, you need a box.
Yeah, because like with you, they'll be like, oh, stop goofing around. That's creeping people out. Just knock it off, you know?
Right, I know. Once you're fooled by the fake dick once,
yeah.
you know, you're expecting fake Shame dicks everywhere. You. When the real dicks come around.
Yeah, it's this guy walking down the street with a bunch of kids trick-or-treating with his boner out, you know? It's like, you know, and then like people are terrified. And the cops are like, oh, just ignore him, you know?
It's the old fake boner costume.
Yeah, exactly.
Trick or treat.
That's how, like, one good deed turns into a bad deed. Like, Will's all about being even Steven.
So what,
like, he does one good thing and evens that shit out.
With a thousand bad things. Right. It's like, yeah, I'm walking around once. I walk around the neighborhood once with a fake boner molded after my own penis.
And it was hilarious.
And the next year, 1,000 sex offenders
are getting away with it.
Just getting away with it.
But it was worth the laughs of the first, you know, it was hilarious when
the
you were
doing
it. The
kids the first year that were laughing and how we all laughed together, it was worth it.
It's not really his penis.
His penis.
He's putting snow cone flavoring on his balls.
The Boston clown is back.
Oh, no. Boston.
The Boston clown.
I was telling a friend of mine about the Boston clown.
Yeah, some scary
and about
shit.
How he would put the snow, you know, he
yeah,
would
snow
get
clone,
the kids
snow
and he
cone
would,
flavor.
He'd put the snow cone flavor on his penis and tell him, you know, take a lick.
Yeah.
And he
it
was saying
sick.
That he suspected that what was actually happening was that, you know, he was kind of an old man and he had like white pubes, like a little bush of white pubes.
Yeah.
And then he would put the snow cone flavoring on his pubes and it would actually look like a snow cone.
Ah, so that makes more sense. It
wasn't
so just
they
like
would
he...
grip the penis, the base of the penis, and lick his pubes.
Well, this guy thought about it like a lot.
What a horrifying... Yeah, more than,
I was just trying to gross people out and that guy has grossed me out. That guy wins, whoever he is.
Was it as gross as the instructional video for masturbation?
That was amazing. You should have been here that night. You want to tell him about that?
No, he can listen.
I'll just listen to the podcast. Yeah. We don't need to rehash.
Oh, but it was.
There's a link to it in the description on the webpage of the podcast. So we found. I don't even.
There's
know.
Too much rehashing of podcasts.
Yeah, rehash.
It's all like right. Well, I'll listen loop. To it later. We don't need.
Let's
to do
talk
it.
About the time we talked about the other podcast.
Remember that Remember, time when we did that podcast?
No, but I was thinking about it because, you know, I was editing that podcast and I was thinking about how, like, because we go through this bizarre arc where, like, at first we're like, haha, this is funny. Then we're like, oh, this is kind of gross. I don't know. These are, like, people talking about dildos and stuff with children. But then towards the end, we're like, this is so sex positive and wonderful. And
no,
and you're like, Daniel was like, I think this is important.
No. What I was saying was, What I was saying was, this is really, really disturbing, but I think
like in a good thing way.
But no. But I was like, this is like a milestone in weirdness. Like, this is something that like, it's not just like some stupid thing you see on YouTube where you're like, oh, haha. Like the girl who's like, I like sucking little dicks. Remember that? Yeah. She was like,
that's just hilarious.
1, 2, 3
that,
lick balls.
That's just brilliant. Yeah. It's like, look, I don't like to be with the dude who had a big dick. I like the small dick, you know, and she goes on this whole thing. That's great, but
she's amazing.
Yeah, that is a milestone. That's kind of like on that level.
But that's not even weird. That's just sort of like triumphant somehow.
Yeah, that. You know? Yeah, you're right. That's not really a
comparable. But I know what you mean. It's just like it's something you couldn't imagine to have seen before without YouTube.
I will remember it.
Well,
yeah,
then YouTube went down for like an hour and a half couple days ago, and everyone freaked the fuck out.
Yeah,
and it was hilarious because like I went on, I tried to load something up on YouTube, and it wouldn't work, and said, oh, my phone must, my Wi-Fi must be weird.
Hey, Patrick, can you bring up Team Little Dick? Can you bring that up on YouTube?
Team Little Dick. Yeah, I can.
It's
I
fucking
can
brilliant.
1, 2, 3 lick balls.
1, 2, 3. Yeah, it's probably the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Greatest.
Have you seen that, Will?
In your
what?
Life?
Have you seen the Team Little Dick video?
Mm-mm.
This woman, I'm going to marry her. She's the most amazing woman I've ever seen in my life.
It is actually pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is one of the best things
I'll
ever.
I'll see what I can do if I can find it.
Yeah. Because, I think Will, Jimmy, you've seen it, right?
I've seen
it. Yeah, because I've sent it several times over our chat, you know.
Sure.
It's like, yeah, we saw that one. Again?
Gay porn again?
Well, yeah, I pissed Jimmy off bad because I was sending, like, straight up gay porn on our chat, which is, you know, par for the course. But it was like, it really was.
You were sending a lot of gay porn.
It was one day, it was just like.
Dude. I was like, all right.
I did it for like a good hour one time. Yeah,
I think probably
it got absurd.
The more interesting.
That's why Dan.
Me and Dan just send gay porn to each other. Right.
Just be like, here's the script.
Oh, we're doing it as a joke. We don't really like this stuff. We're trying to gross you guys out.
No, what was really interesting to me was that,
hey,
like,
let's gross all those other guys out by jerking off together.
Exactly.
The quality of what Daniel was finding was rapidly increasing. Just in terms of, like, I'm not even joking.
Don't even remember.
Like, at first it was clearly he did a search for, you know, he typed in gay porn into Google image search, and he was just copying and pasting funny pictures.
Right.
But then as it went on, like, the
went further down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
no,
was just the butthole.
No, no, no. The images got just high, like literally the composition, the body tone, like, right. Like it literally was like a more artistic.
Everyone was starting to get turned.
Yeah, we're
on.
Kind of getting into it. It's like, this is kind of nice.
It that's what it was. Jimmy joke, was like, I like this.
I don't like big dicks. And I'm going to tell y'all the truth. It's the confessions of Monique Anderson. And I'm about to go as Monique deep Anderson. As possible as I can go with this video. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, I don't like big dicks. I don't like big dicks for the simple fact that, you know, I like to go nuts on a penis. I like to suck a dick where I feel like I'm in power.
Yes.
Okay? Big dicks weakens me as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I can't suck it the way that I want to suck it. And I can't fuck it the way that I want to fuck it. Okay? Big dick men, you know, like to put people in pretzels and then go nuts with a big ass dick, causing problems and leaving me with dick in my back after sex. I don't need dick in my back after sex. That's
you don't
the
need
problem.
That shit.
For
bag,
me,
dude.
Okay. Dick I like to have
bag.
Sex and I walk away from the shit. I don't need to be thinking about this big dick still stuck in my backbone. I don't got time for that. Secondly, I don't like to suck a dick where I feel like I'm going to throw up. Okay? I don't want to throw up. I mean, I be leaving the club. We be having a good time. I be tipsy. Then he whipped that big ass dick out and didn't want me to suck it. Nigga, you going to sober me up. I'm gonna throw up because the motherfucker too goddamn big.
That's how I feel.
I like the whole my nigga. I don't want to suck dick and feel like that I'm gonna throw up on the dick. It's too big. It's too wide. Big ego like Beyonce.
She's a preacher.
I don't have time, okay? And I don't have time to be, you know, embarrassing myself. And I'm going to also let y'all know, I'm team little dick. I'm team little dick. Only because I do Pilates on little dick, man. I do Pilates.
Pilates.
You know, I like to exercise my mouth. 1, 2, 3 lip balls, okay?
That's right.
1, 2, 3 lip balls. All
right.
It's beautiful.
Team little dick over here. Monique Confessions.
Yeah, that's the greatest thing ever. It really is.
It's the best. I'm speechless.
I know.
I saw it. I couldn't fucking believe it.
It's poetry.
It's however long that is, like a 2 minute and 3 seconds.
It's a 1 minute 58 seconds.
Every minute and 58 seconds is genius. Every second of that video is beautiful. She's just saying what we're all thinking.
And she was sincere.
Yeah,
and,
that's the
and,
best part
and
of it.
There's, I really, yeah. I like honestly, I think an aspect of that and other some other stuff. There's a when you find legitimate sincerity on the internet, that's a special thing.
Yeah,
these days
it was her confession.
Yeah,
and she wanted to share that with everybody.
It's like the drinking out of cups video. You ever see that?
No. I don't know if I want to.
No, it's no.
Anything
it's not
with
like
cups?
No, no,
I, you
it's
know.
Not. A, it's not a 2 girls, 1 cup situation.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah, whenever I hear that, I'm like, no thanks.
No, no. The drinking out of cups is this old video of it's a guy who I think he's on acid or he's on acid, and they recorded him, and then somebody like made an animation, and it's kind of old, so it's like sort of crude animation where he's like a lizard. And this is a pointless thing to mention because it's completely out of context if you haven't seen it. But I'll put a link to it because Drinking Out of Cups, it's a weird video.
Okay.
Because you made me think of it because you were talking about like the peak weird. And it's like,
sounds like the kind of thing I would click on and watch. You know,
you would totally dig it.
You dig it the most. See, but I didn't get that reference for 6 months.
Yeah.
Longer because I didn't go see it when I could.
It was a shame. You know?
Yeah, I just would hear it. I heard every single line from Pulp Fiction on Don and Mike before I ever saw the movie.
That was another thing. A lot of it I had heard on Don and Mike.
Yes, Don and Mike play it. That's right.
Because they had played, you know, they had played the bacon tastes good, pork chops tastes good. I always thought it was funny and interesting. But
sewer rat may taste like pumpkin pie, but I'd never know because I wouldn't eat the filthy motherfucker. Right.
Man. So, yeah. I remember one time you, me, and Mike.
Visitors.
I remember Will Mitchell, Mike Reed, and Dan Johnson. We all got together in like 1998, and we were like, we want to watch Pulp Fiction, but we went to Blockbuster and rented it and just watched it.
Yep.
We were like, we just want to watch that.
That's what happened.
And we, but
1998, you could go to Blockbuster and rent
it. Yeah, but like nowadays,
it was horrible.
It was a horrible life.
It was a horrible experience.
It was a bad
time. It was a good viewing. Unlike the Dave Beard viewing, I enjoyed that viewing.
Half the time you go to Blockbuster,
the movie was still, for some reason, the movie got better.
I
the viewing with you guys was better than the viewing with Dave Beard.
Well, then, like,
the movie was different somehow.
All right. What was the best movie experience you've ever had?
Best?
Yes. Best. Qualitatively.
You're
spiritually,
saying,
philosophically,
I've had sex while a movie was on in the background, and I'd say that was the better experience.
No, we're talking about a movie theater, yeah, right?
Sitting, like, let's talk about a movie theater.
Enjoying the movie. Yeah. That's what I'm just trying to get the definition.
I mean, I guess
about.
It could, you know, if it's entertaining enough, you can mention it.
Yeah, the popcorn
video.
Trick. Yeah, my mind is in the gutter right now. After that Monique Anderson video.
One, two, three.
My
balls.
Yeah, my favorite movie going experience of all time. I went with some friends to the, I believe it was a small theater in Georgetown. There was a discount theater.
Was it it
was the AMC, you know, six, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I've been there.
And we watched this movie called Happiness.
No.
I was there, and I was about to say that was the worst movie experience I've ever had.
And I was sitting next to Dan Johnson.
Horrified. I was horrified.
And I was laughing.
He was going, ah!
And I looked over to Daniel, and he just had this look on his face of just, like, abject misery.
I was so... I did not know what I was walking
he
into.
He was just sad.
Will, did you know
you
what the
guys,
movie was about?
No, none of us did.
No, all Mike had said, it's really funny. I think Mike had seen it or something.
Right, Mike had recommended it, but none of us had even seen the preview.
And he wanted to watch us watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he did like, that with me in The Road.
He didn't even want to watch it. He just wanted to watch it. Like, Will thought it was funny as hell.
Yeah, no, he talked about The Road. He like, would not get off it. So finally, I was like, come on over. Like, it was like an afternoon. We were like, we'll watch The Road. And it was this whole rigmarole. It was a complicated thing. Finally, we got our schedules right. And then I turn on the movie, and it starts up. And I'm watching, like, the first 5 minutes. And then I look over, and Mike is just staring at me, smiling.
It was the same kind
you
of thing.
You see this shit? It's gold and it's gray.
And just the funniest part was like Mike describing the movie a few weeks later. Once I had the trauma had worn off, I started to think it was funny. But it was like I just wasn't prepared for that. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, absolutely not. There's no way to prepare for that movie. It's like watching Gummo.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I remember leaving the theater and like Pat Glothier that was there, I think, too.
Yeah, I think it was a bunch of us. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just remember being like, I remember talking to Pat and Pat like looking over like kind of concerned, like you're really fucked up by this, aren't you?
You were
like,
so miserable.
Yeah,
I've never seen someone. I'm trying to think of another time in my life when I've seen someone look that miserable.
It was just so it was like out of left field. I did not expect it. I was expecting, oh, this will be funny. And Mike had given good suggestions before.
Yeah.
I'd seen movies that he'd
like. It's like if you go to Europe and you know how like there's, you know, like if you go to like, say, Italy, there will be like a woman begging in the street.
Yeah.
And she'll walk up to you with this look on her face like, you know, please, sir. Yeah.
Right.
It's, you know, just misery. And that's an act.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But this was real.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to give Dan $5.
Why did you do this to me? I remember, like, but then I showed it to Will Helms. I started carrying the message because.
Well,
it's
like The Ring.
Yeah.
You know, you have to pass it along to lift the curse.
And I showed it to a couple.
Follows. It's a.
Yeah.
Kinda, that's a good.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's like it follows. No, it's like, well, it was kind of like preaching the gospel, but in a very perverse way where you're like, you want them to experience what you experienced.
Yeah.
Right. It's a hazing experience in some ways.
Well, it's also,
but we all experienced it together.
I'm
very glad I did
your,
saw that.
When these things happen, it also helps validate your own pain.
Yeah.
If somebody else has to feel your pain, it means your pain is real. And that it's not,
but it's a harmless kind of thing because it is really funny. And after
a couple
weeks, they'll be laughing about it.
Oh yeah,
that's the thing. It's like in a couple weeks, they'll laugh about it and show it to somebody else.
I used to do that when Dan would send me horrifying videos. I would have to send them to other people just so I wasn't the only one who had to deal with it.
Yeah, right. Spread the trauma.
But I had
around.
I had a similar experience. I can't say it was the worst experience because it was fine. It was actually a very good movie.
It was
but,
his best, my worst. Yeah.
But it was a similar situation where I was visiting my sister in Austria, and we were hanging out, and then she was like, "Hey, you want to go see a movie?" And I was like, "Sure." And she's like, "I heard about this movie. I heard it's a really good movie."
Yeah.
And it's playing here. It was like a French-German co-production. It was called The Piano Teacher or something like that. I think that's what it was.
Okay.
So we're like, okay. And we're watching this movie, and it's some, like, period piece, and there's, like, a woman, and she, like, sleeps with, like in the same bed as her mom, and her mom is always, like, bullying her and all this other stuff or whatever. And it's like, okay. And then this woman has some issues, and she teaches piano, and she has trouble making relationships with men. And then all of a sudden, there's a scene where she goes into the bathroom and takes off her robe, and it's like, oh, okay,
is
cool.
Is this the one where, oh,
she
I know.
climbs into the bathtub and gets warm water already, and it's like it's all super nice. And she climbs in the bathtub. She gets a razor blade and she starts masturbating with the razor blade.
Yeah, she starts cutting up her clitoris.
And,
with unacceptable.
And she's all like,
And people were passing out in the theater.
My sister is sitting next to me. My sister's like, "I'm so sorry, I brought you to."
No. There were that was playing at this theater that this is the theater's closed, but it was in D.C. and it was this theater that like they,
it's a good movie, by the way.
Yeah, it was this kind of hipster kind
of
theater.
Visions. Place?
It was Visions. Yeah, Visions.
They would play that at Visions.
Yeah, and they and, like they played it at Visions. They said that people were coming out and passing out, like in the hall. Like they were like people were passing out in the theater and going into the bathroom and throwing up and stuff.
Yeah. That's pretty entertaining. What? I mean, I didn't find it that disgusting. But it was horrifying because you're like, I don't know what is she doing?
The funny thing is I went in just to see that scene because they were like, you got to see, because they kept talking about it. I'm like, how bad is it?
I went in just to see that scene.
Then and then they were like, all right, so go in about now. It's going to be on in about 2 minutes. That is kind of sick. But I went in and I was like, I don't see it. What's the big deal, you know? No, I was disturbed by it, but it was like it was.
Well, you'd already been immunized by happiness.
You
had antibodies.
Yeah, right.
Immune system fought it off.
They recognized this sort of invasion.
Yeah,
they could fight. No, but it was also because like I think it's the fact that it seems like a normal movie, like Patrick was saying, and then out of left field, this horrifying thing happens. But if you're going in expecting something really horrifying, it's not the same experience. As
right.
You're watching
this
nice art house movie. Oh my God, what's that? You know.
Yeah. Well, that's when you know both James and I did a lot of film classes in undergrad, and so we had to watch a lot of independent movies, like you know, just like what you do in film classes and stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the movies we watched was called Chuck and Buck, and it's kind of a famous movie now. And by the way, it's also a good movie.
What's it about? What is it? You know,
it's about there's a guy, and he's gonna. I think he's about to get married, or maybe was recently married. I forget the details, but he kind of meets up. There's an old friend of his, and they haven't seen each other in like 10 years, but they were like best friends when they were like little kids growing up.
Yeah.
And so they're seeing each other for the first time in like 10 or 15 years, something along those lines.
It's kind of hot.
And they're hanging out, and they're hanging out a lot, and then a lot more, and then, you know, the long and the short of it is at the end, I said that again, at the end of the movie, it turns out that they used to like fool around when they were like kids.
All right.
And then
it's like, what if I'm gay?
Here's the thing. Like, you might see other things that have like a similar premise, but the way the movie ended was that the guy that not the one who was getting married, the other guy was like obsessed with Chuck. I think he was Chuck.
He was still in love with him.
Yeah, it was not even love. That's what was interesting about it.
Yeah.
Like he was just obsessed with this whole like we used to like fiddle around with each other. And like,
did he feel insecure about it, or he really enjoyed
it? He was clearly they played him as like a guy who had some problems, right?
Oh, okay,
but
so
like,
he was still
the way
up
the
on
movie
it.
Ends up ending is that like he's basically asking his friend, he's like, "Can we do
one last time?"
Well, yeah, but he referred to it as, "Do you remember the game we used to play?" And then he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Do you remember what we called it?" He's like, "Yeah. Chuck and Buck suck and fuck."
That's a good punchline.
And no, that's not the punchline of the movie, though. The punchline of the movie is the Buck guy is all like, "I want to, can we do that?" And the Chuck is like, "No, I'm getting married. Are you crazy? We were just kids." But then, like, in the end of the movie, he's like, "All right, one more time."
Nice.
And then, so they do it. And then, like, the other dude's like,
"Do they show it in the movie?"
Man, pretty much.
Oh, my God.
Pretty much.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you know, but I'm just trying to, yeah.
But that wasn't the weird, like my favorite one, which honestly, I mean, I wish I could remember the title of this movie. I'm sure somebody will figure it out. There was a movie about another independent film about a girl, kind of like a semi-gothish girl who worked at a mortuary. She was obsessed with death and stuff like that.
Word.
And she was attractive, but a little weird. People liked her, but she pushed people away. That, you know, that typical setup.
Got it.
And you're like, okay. And then the initial twist where you're like, oh, here's the initial twist.
Watch
is
out.
That she was fucking the dead bodies.
Right on.
As one would.
Yeah,
yeah,
because
as you
she couldn't form relationships with men, similar to the piano teacher, so she would have sex with the dead males that would come into the mortuary.
Right on.
And she would have these whole vignettes with this. No, here's the double twist. The double mega twist that
double
made the movie interesting was that she ends up meeting, I think he starts working at the mortuary or something, she ends up meeting like a live dude that she actually kind of gets along with, and she's all troubled because she's not used to dealing with like real dudes and stuff.
Right.
And they end up like falling in love, but like she basically, he wants to have sex with her and she's like not interested and she's scared and all this other stuff because she's only ever had sex with like dead dudes and
so
stuff like
nervous,
that.
She's nervous, right.
Oh, yeah. Long story short, yeah, at the end of the movie, he like blows his brains out. And then she has sex with him.
Yeah. Oh, that's totally horrible.
It's very thoughtful. No,
there's this movie I watched.
It's kind of romantic, actually.
There's this movie.
Me of Westworld.
Well, it reminds me of. There's this movie called Sleeping Dogs Lie. And it's about this woman who falls. Bobcat Goldthwait actually wrote and directed it.
Yeah, he's good.
And he's done some interesting stuff. But the whole premise of the movie is that there's this woman and this man who are totally in love with each other, and they're sharing their darkest secrets, right? And one of the darkest secrets that the guy shares is he's like, oh yeah, back in college, like we all jerked off on this like cookie, and I had to eat it, and it's like,
soggy biscuit.
And then she's like, well, I blew my dog. One night. So basically,
yeah, I've seen those pictures
it ruins it ruins the entire relationship because he can't get past it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And she's like you did something really disgusting.
Yeah,
and he's like, but it was with people, you know. And it just totally ruins.
It was with people.
But it turns into this poignant, touching movie about. It turns out that her mom had fucked like had jerked off Elvis back in the day.
Oh, like Cybill Shepherd.
Yeah, and so and like, but like her dad was like, "What was up with that?" And then she just doesn't tell him. She's like, "Nah, mom would never was with anybody other than you know what I mean." It's like, yeah. So it's like leaving.
She
but
was
the whole
jerking my dick.
But the whole point of the movie, it turns into this poignant thing. But the only reason he made the movie was to gross his friends out about like, yeah, it's about a movie about a girl who blows a dog.
That was
how it started. Yeah,
that's a good punchline.
So
yeah.
this is what bothered me about Westworld. This
Go ahead.
Reminds me. Right, so you've all seen this, I'm sure.
I haven't,
up,
but it's okay.
Caught up on Westworld.
I have, yes.
I will be. I need to do that.
There's, you know, this company that makes these robots, you know, lifelike people robots.
Oh, sorry.
And this company's entirely staffed by assholes, right? Not a single person who works for this company is not a complete asshole.
It's true.
And they're always backstabbing each other in every which way and the other thing. But the one of the technicians who works on repairing, I guess, the bodies or whatever.
Are you talking about Felix?
I'm not sure which one it was.
I'm surrounded by assholes.
It was a lesser one. It was somebody who was, you know, didn't go on to.
Gotcha.
Felix Leiter? The woman from upstairs, right? One of the executives came down and she was gonna like blackmail him. I guess she was like, "Yeah, we know what you do. We have it on camera. You're fucking the dead bodies."
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, "Oh God, don't tell anybody. I can lose my job."
Yeah.
Right. It's like that was the part where I got off the show. I was done at that point because I was just
really?
Like, you know,
that's where it got good.
his whole reaction was like, you know, "Don't tell anyone that I'm fucking the dead bodies, the robot bodies." You know, I'll lose everything. It's like, you know, in real life, it would just be like, "All right." Everybody down here fucks the dead bodies.
Yeah, you got a dildo. Yeah. You got
literally
a dildo.
Everyone in this company is fucking these.
Now here's
these
the
robots.
Thing. Here's
they're all hot. So why wouldn't you?
Yeah. No, but here's what's interesting, right? What's interesting is like I interpreted that differently. The same basic message, but I interpreted it as almost like a class issue.
He couldn't get away with it.
Well, that like yeah, like
because he wasn't.
That like he would get in a special trouble because he was like a lowly person. But yeah, I mean you make it. You know, you're right. See? Everybody was going to be. I just assumed you're right. Everyone's fucking the dead bodies.
Yeah, let's go to the videotape. All right.
Go to the video.
Let's watch the video of me fucking the dead bodies, but let's you know, let's continue watching for another we'll run through the whole 24 hours. That's the deal, right? We're not just going to watch the 10 minutes where I'm fucking the robot dead robot body.
Yeah.
We will watch that, but we have to watch a 24-hour window after that, right? And it's just this parade of people from all over the company coming through and fucking the robots. It's like, okay, what's your point, right? Are you going to fire all of us?
Yeah, no, and
if you fired every single person in this company that was fucking the robots,
there'd be no company.
Do you think that Donald Trump, do you think that Donald Trump would refuse to rape a robot because it didn't have feelings?
Right, he was unable to actually hurt it in some way.
Yeah, I think he would be unable to perform in that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I don't
like a lifelike Westworld style, super attractive mega robot, and the robot is programmed to be like no, and then like but Trump is just like no, that's not attractive to me because there's no humanity in it for me to crush.
right.
Her will, like, succumb to mine.
I mean, yeah, we watch this play out every day. I mean, yeah. Millennials.
Yeah. Yeah. We live in a nightmare.
We really do.
We live in a nightmare. It was a nightmare when he got inaugurated, but it's gotten worse. We can't wake up from it.
I was telling my dad about when we went to Tangier and saw all those Trump signs, and we're like, your island's sinking into the sea. And they're like, what are you going to do? And they were, and the thing.
They believe Trump's going
to
save
it. I was looking through some pictures because pulling together some protest pictures, and I forgot. It wasn't just Trump signs, it was Trump 2020 signs.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
They're already
ready.
That's
insane.
They love Trump on that island. Oh, they love Trump. They have Trump flags like under the remember like it was like we were coming
Yeah,
in?
They had a Trump doll in like the diner.
Yeah. And they had the Trump dollar bill like on the
Trump dollar bill.
Yeah, that's
they had Trump
currency.
Shit everywhere. They had Trump shit everywhere.
Yeah, they love him.
We're only three election cycles away from the apocalypse. I mean, it's supposed to be.
You're very optimistic.
It's yeah.
Well, I mean, no, sorry. I'm saying at most 2038, right? Is now they're saying the climate.
There's not that many people on Tangier. So, we can just go there and just sort of slit all of their throats.
What?
Or run over them with golf carts.
Or just wait till their island sinks into the sea.
We're gonna hang out there.
Just let you don't need to do that, right? What about 2038? What's happening in 2038?
That's when they said, you know, things are going to get real dire.
Like, what's going to happen? Like, when we wake up just in 2038.
They're already pretty
coral
pretty
reef.
Bad.
All coral reefs will be dead. The ocean will be acidified. Wildfires everywhere. You know,
and
this whole thing.
20 years from now.
We've discussed this on the podcast before. The ocean will be nothing but jellyfish. The ocean will be endless. It's already jellyfish blooms are exploding all over the ocean. It's making going to the beach miserable because, like, a lot of places just are covered in jellyfish or red tide.
Right. Even red tide that then is picked up by the hurricane and deposited over land.
Oh, yeah.
You know, go to the pool.
Yeah, pool ain't much better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When all the pools have jellyfish.
Yeah. Oh, all the post-apocalyptic
that's
pools.
That's 2039.
That's Jello Biafra time. When all the pools have jellyfish.
Yeah. What? So what is it going to be like if we were to go in back into the future 20 years?
Dude, don't ask, dude.
Yeah, no, I want to know.
No,
have you guys already talked about this?
No, it's just I don't.
Patrick knows. I know he knows.
I don't think any of us have an adequate answer.
I know Will
question.
Mitchell knows.
Let's not worry about it.
What's the answer to the question?
The answer to the question is.
You can make up any fucking answer and it'll be correct.
Yeah, exactly.
First time caller, long time listener.
What's going to happen in 2038 here in this room?
I don't know. Maybe we'll tear down the house and build like a new house made out of like cement and sand. Okay.
It will be 100 feet tall.
Mike will visit the attic.
Yes, he will eventually visit the attic.
For real.
On the 100th floor, there will be Mike.
He's going to live there. He's going to be like, have you seen Blade Runner 2049?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be like Harrison Ford in that movie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I was like you.
Yeah, he's going to be like living on that. It was kind of a nice place to live.
Yeah, except the thing is no one will be chasing him.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah, exactly. No, there'd be no reason for him to do it. He'd be like,
You don't know about that.
Well, maybe.
No, I think he might perceive people to be chasing him.
The Floridian.
Oh, yeah, the Floridian might come back. That's right.
Floridians are after Mike?
There's a whole array
menacing. There's a single Floridian that he had, like, a major beef
is
with.
Is this fluoride or from Florida? Oh,
no, from Florida.
Okay. Floridian, like, he's trying to put fluoride.
I think he went back to Florida.
What was he? He was stalking Mike?
No, he was just an asshole.
Sort of co-worker.
Oh, yeah. It was a co-worker. And then Mike didn't like him, and then he left, and that was the end of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you tell it that way, it sounds so uninteresting.
No, I'm just trying to understand.
It sounds positively banal.
But I know with hearing it from Mike's perspective, it was fascinating. I know
this was one of those,
I got to hear this.
You've got the basic story. There's no particular need to elaborate, but the main point being, that in his business, he often encounters some pretty bizarre people, like that bartender who was just like stealing beers and drinking them.
Yeah, or the guy who was arrested for robbing a bank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. The guy, the bartender, and they did a whole sting where the cops came in and like all surrounded the place.
Yeah,
and
there's
like,
some interesting.
And he tried to run out the back, and the cops caught him in the back. he was the bartender.
So, how was the Floridian in that? In that class,
Well, he didn't rob a bank, Right. At least.
He was the first of the nemesis.
Yeah.
He he was the first one to show up.
Yeah. He was, yeah. Mike got cursed. Sort of an obnoxious person. No, it depends because I've seen, and the thing is I can vouch for at least some of these tales because of like having sat in that restaurant and seen somebody walk by and be like, man, that person looks like a complete piece of shit. And then Mike will be like, yeah, that's the dude.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not saying Mike makes any of this up. I'm just trying to understand what.
No, I mean, in certain cases, he might perceive or miscommunicate or something. Like, I think he has a few feuds with like bus drivers and some people like that maybe are
local kids.
More one-sided, but like
local kids.
Hey, oh yeah, that was great.
The kids.
I told you not to say that.
But at the same time,
but he does, but the thing is, it's made more understandable by the fact that he has had to deal with some completely bizarre, insane people.
So what did the Floridian do? That's all I want to know. We don't have to get too into it. But
he was just annoying to Mike.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember
this. He menaced Mike at work.
He did. No, he would do stuff like
that.
I get it. He would like steal Mike's tables and stuff.
Yeah.
He was one of those guys.
He was a prick.
Yeah, he was a prick.
Yeah, and he was from Florida.
And he was from Florida, which was like 3 points against him.
That's bad enough.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like 3 strikes to begin with, if you've been to Florida. If you've heard of Florida, then you're fucked, like me. I've heard of it. I'm just as bad as the rest of them.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to go in a second, but I want to get your reaction to some wisdom that a friend of mine was dispensing the other day. I'm going to play it back for you through the microphone here. And it's going to take it's about a minute long. Maybe, actually, it's only about 30 seconds long, and we'll see what you have to say.
All right.
But I think the thing is like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And sometimes you can't even like have your cake either. You just like you just know there's a cake somewhere. Like you can having your cake, looking at it, and then eating it also. You can't do both, right? But sometimes like. You can't even, like, look at the cake or eat it or anything. You just know it's there. You know that some people eat the cake. You know some people have the cake. But you don't have it. You don't eat it. It's just like, you know there's cake. And that people do eat cake from time to time. And that you do eat cake from time to time. And that reminds you of times that you've had cake or times that you've eaten cake.
Word. What was going on in the background there?
He's talking about women, right?
was he talking about a particular topic, or was he just...
Yeah, he was talking about going to see Weezer and the Pixies.
Oh, like to go see them at the same time? Like,
yeah.
Because they played that show together, right?
It was when you go to see a show, but you're not playing a show.
Oh... So he would like to be like on the
stage.
Bill. He would like to be.
You can't have your cake and eat it too. But sometimes, if it's a bad show, you can't even have your cake.
He got a pizza though.
Yeah, he did get a pizza.
Oh, you were at that with him. That's right.
Oh yeah,
cool man.
That was a cool clip. I like that. What was going on in the background?
So
we were
sitting
outside
of Rare Bird, so it was traffic going.
Okay,
past.
All right. Because it sounded like you were in a car.
Yeah,
like,
I mean that's there's usually something happening.
Yeah, I've been to Rare Bird.
That's the busy, bustling streets of Falls Church, Virginia.
Downtown Falls Church, Virginia.
Downtown
I call
Falls Church.
Rare Bird
the beautiful downtown Washington studio bound downtown, and
yeah,
it's on Broad.
Duke Zebert's. I walk by where Duke Zebert's was. Almost every day on my way to the White House, because it's right there where Washington Square building is, like where one of the one of the L Street entrances to Farragut North is. Like the old building that was there had the original Duke Zebert's, where Larry King went all the time and Jack Kent Cooke and all those people. And then they tore down that building, and so Duke Zebert retired because he was like, I guess this is as good a time as any to retire. He was already rich, and he'd been running the restaurant for a bunch of years. And so his second in command, who had worked at Duke Zebert's for like 30 years or something, was like, he kind of took over, and he opened a restaurant a block over. And that was going well for a couple of years until Duke Zebert was like decided retirement was boring and he liked to be the center of attention. So he went to the Washington Square building, the same like the building that replaced the old building he was in. And on the second floor, there's like there's a nice little terrace with some trees there. I think it's a Morton Steakhouse now. He opened up Duke Zebert's again, and then he got into the remainder of his life. He was in this duel with this old employee of his that were so close. He was like his protege, but now he was competing with his protege. and it turned into a whole thing until Duke Zebra, until they both closed down.
Right. It's when, it's the Bob Ross and sort of the Creedence situation.
Well, I didn't. Whoa, Bob Ross and what?
Bob Ross. He actually learned his skills. He had a mentor who was sort of the original, you know, public television painter.
Huh,
right.
I didn't know that.
I think he was like a German guy or something.
I believe he was. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he mentored and tutored Bob Ross.
Right.
And then eventually Bob Ross went off and started his own show. And of course, you know, he did it all for public television, but he made a lot of money because he had these colors. Mm-hmm. He had his Bob Ross, you know, paints that he always painted with. Man. Those, it was the trademarked, you know, colors, the titanium.
They still sell
white.
Those.
Yeah. And the Bob Ross easel and the Bob Ross brushes and they do.
A friend of mine bought those.
The Bob Ross fro pick.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it like Wilhelm's?
No, it was Nick's roommate Andy. You would not know who that is.
But we want to know.
He's a good guy. He's a mechanic. I went to T.C. Williams with him. He's fucking hilarious. He's a really funny guy.
T.C. Williams.
There's nothing funny about T.C. Williams.
Okay, Daniel, I think we have to stop recording. So
I'm exhausted. Anyway.
You tell me. You have to sit, but you have to close us out because we don't. These things always fucking peter out. They just filter. Oh. They just end up stopping.
Pizza,
usually it ends with you saying
it's
you're tired. Or something.
I'm tired. It's 1:30.
Yeah, you're always. Also, I was going to ask you why are you always.
It is
11.
It's
39.
It's 1:30 a.m. because I can never see the date. It's October 20th.
It's not even that late.
I can never see the dates on these podcasts. I never see the dates.
Let's. I think we've still got time. We could drive to St. Mary's County and walk into a giant spider web.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
That's how I see it.
Yeah, just play some clips of me. Have me finish it that way. All right, this is the real Dan signing out. The other Dan will end this up.
All right, have a good one.
Elevators, microwaves, penis, and dicks.